Welcome to the Creator Coco podcast. I'm your host, Ian Wambai. This podcast helps you become a better creator by helping you learn from what other creators have already figured out. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us a tweet at Creator Coco. That's creator and then C-O-C-O-A. In this episode, we talk to Lewis Muema about music production, his process for making his last project, Binary Garden, and we also talk about different ways you can advertise your music and build your fan base. I hope you learn something that helps you become a better creator. Lewis, I would like to introduce you, or you can tell us a bit about yourself. Do you consider yourself a producer? Do you consider yourself an artist? I know you have a couple of projects out. They don't have much vocals, so they're mostly produced, but at the same time, you don't want to necessarily put someone in a box. So could you tell us a bit about yourself?
My name is Lewis. I am a producer. I do not sing or rap. I used to rap. But I kind of fell out of that vibe because it didn't sound right for me. I prefer to just make beats for people and have them, you know, spit or, you know, throw game on them. And that's what, you know, makes me enjoy what I do, seeing other people enjoy or use the work that I've created to, you know, create art as well. So I have been doing this since I was, I think, 16, when I got my first guitar. I still have my old videos from way back then, but they're in like 360p, so I cannot. It's so embarrassing to post them. I started YouTube when I was 17. I posted some stuff there, and then I made it private because it didn't sound that great, you know. Recording using your phone is not the best quality of music that you can get. So I made those private. I don't think you can find them. And then when I started working, I could afford getting some good audio equipment to start recording. And then, along the journey of working, that's where I met Ian. We used to work together as developers. And at some point, we collaborated on a guitar project. I don't know whether that's still up on SoundCloud. I think it is. I'm not sure. We did a collab, and Ian produced it and posted it. Then I shared it with some of my guys. After that, I took a bit of a sabbatical from music to just focus on work and try and get myself better. And somewhere along the way, I missed making music, and that's why I came back full force with good audio equipment. I used to take weekends to record songs. I also started editing videos so I could do like promo for my songs. I would make videos where I was gaming because I that's also one thing I enjoyed doing. I play video games a lot. So I started recording my gameplays, and then I'd edit them into like a 5-minute window for like the duration of a song. And then I put the song as a background track for the videos. Some of them are private, but I think there are two that are still that are public. And those are the ones that I use to market my music using ads. It's just last year, November, when I dropped my last album. I don't know if it can be called an album. It's mostly just beats, but since it's a full length like record, I think it's an album. I published it. That's the first time I published an album on streaming platforms. It's currently on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, Deezer, Pandora, Claro, and a few others, I think. I'm not sure all of them have been mentioned. And the latest record was, I think, is my best work yet. It's just a couple of beats, but The main premise of the album is mostly cultural integration. Like I tried to take a couple of different cultures from, I think Japanese, Malaysian. I have also like Norse mythology and Viking stuff in there. I tried to take the instruments and then sort of mix them in with some newer current, like synthesizers and instruments. So now I have like some hip hop beats, but they have instruments from, Norse mythology, also Japanese culture and all that. The album is called Binary Garden. If you'd like to check it out, just search Binary Garden on any streaming platform. You should be able to see it. Also, I got some two videos for promo on YouTube for the same album. You can just search for me and they'll just be there.
So you mentioned something there about the early work that you have and how much you have ended up privating a lot of this work. And that's something that I also relate to, and I'm sure that a lot of artists and people who are trying to make things, you relate to, because in the beginning when you're getting started, it's not your best work and you can tell that it's not your best work. But something which I always noticed in the work that you've been doing, even the videos you were making a while back, is that you have this good sense of creating drama or creating a kind of a theme and having kind of a style that you want. Like you have this kind of deeper thing that you're going for whenever you're trying to make music. And that also comes out in the Binary Garden project. And you're right, that's something I totally noticed, that you're mixing all these different cultures together. It felt you are right about the Norse mythology. You can hear all those kinds of accents. You can hear like Japanese music and also the hip hop influences. So I really enjoy your work and I feel like you have a good sense of taste and you have a good sense of drama. And I'm looking forward to any other projects that you come up with.
Yeah, sure. I'm also looking forward to some of your work. I've been listening to your I actually listened to your latest album. I found you a few months ago. So you have a good album now, and I really enjoyed it.
So I appreciate it. And I have a few questions now about production, about the exact process you go through to create a track. What's your process of making music? Do you use actual instruments or what kind of software do you use or any other details you can give us?
When I have, first of all, it starts with inspiration. You have to be inspired to write music before you start anything, because you need to have the energy and sort of like a theme somewhere, so that you have content to write. The whole process starts with a notepad and a pen. I usually try to research things that I'm interested in, whether it's anime or I don't know, but like video games give me inspiration. Sometimes I really enjoyed God of War, playing God of War, so that's where the inspiration for Viking and Norse mythology came from. I also enjoyed Ghost of Tsushima and Sekiro: Die Twice. I also like watching anime, a lot of stuff. So anywhere I find inspiration, I usually just try to write down in my notepad, and then once I have like enough content to start writing, now I sit down with my guitar and try to create a riff or a progression that would suit that mood or that theme. I also write the ideas down for certain, bridges and choruses, that kind of stuff before I start writing. And that, when I start the recording process, it usually follows the steps that I have in my notepad. When, writing out the track, I sit down with my guitar and I have a tablet that I use to, add the synthesizers and the beats. I usually record acoustic and sometimes electric, but most of the other instruments are simulated using synth software. There's this really nice Android app I like to use that's called Caustic 3. It has a bunch of synths and beat makers, loopers. You can even import, sample files and then edit them, change the pitch, change the tone, change the vibrato. You can add effects like wah, is it called wah? Auto wah or chorusing, all that stuff. You can even add distortion, plenty of stuff. And then once I have like a solid track, I will export it in stems. Like you have one instrument that has its own stem. Like if you have drums, it will have its own stem. If you have guitars, if you have bass, if you have like your custom instruments, I usually enjoy using something called an erhu. It's a Chinese inst no, it's a Japanese violin. Yeah. To, record. All those, I export them as stems and then I import them in my computer. And then I use something called Magix Enhancer. It's a software master, it's a music mastering software where you can change the pitch. You can technically do most of the things that you're able to do on the Android app, but this is like for perfecting the sound, making certain instruments louder or quieter, making them sound easier or more harsh, adding certain effects. You can even change the timestamps of certain, riffs. And the mastering process is the part that I enjoy the most because I get to listen to my track over and over again, just perfecting it slowly until it comes to the quality that I want for it. And then after that, once I'm confident with all my tracks, I, publish them using Amuse. I post them on, the pipeline cycle for review. They usually give me feedback on the artwork. Oh, actually, I forgot that there's also a part where I sit down, based on the theme of the record or the album, I create a relevant themed album art. I usually take inspiration from, I don't know, other people's artwork. Like for instance, on Binary Garden, the main theme of the album was integration of different cultures. So I have a tree called a bonsai Yggdrasil, which is also known as the tree of life. It has the leaves on top and then the roots at the bottom. And then you have like a plane representing like the divide between the top and the bottom. So the top is white and then the bottom is gray. And then the line that separates them is a wave. It's like a wave. I don't know how to call it. Yeah, it's a sine wave where it goes up and down and up and down. So that is to represent the binary part. And then the tree represents the garden. And then I have this whole ring thing that has the word binary garden spelled out in Japanese, also in runic language. There's this language called Elder Furak, Furak, I think. That's used to write runes. So I have all that stuff just put into the same artwork, and that's how I try to send the message of the theme of a record. Once I publish the album, it goes, no, before it goes live, I usually do promo. I create YouTube videos. Like, for instance, the two that I did from the album were done just before I released, and then I market them using ads. And the ads are supposed to direct the listener to my streaming profiles. So once the music drops, now I post on my socials, on WhatsApp, on LinkedIn, those kinds of places. And after that, I can do promos for, let's say, can you guess the Easter egg or the hidden gem inside my artwork? And you get to win this kind of money. Yeah, promos like that. Then after that, I just let now people listen to the album, have fun with it. And I just keep on monitoring the streams on a weekly basis. There's this thing that Spotify and Apple Music do. They usually give you a weekly recap on your email of all the streams that you've gotten over the past 1 week, which I find really helpful. Yeah. I think that's mostly it for my creative process.
Music is something accessible now. It's something that you don't need to be like super fancy. You don't need such a fancy equipment. You don't need to spend so much money to be able to express yourself through music. And you also don't need to consider yourself necessarily a musician or a musical person to be able to make music. So something Lewis has mentioned is that his process usually starts by him using a phone. And I was wondering whether you can tell us more about that, because if more people can be aware that they can make music just sitting like on their couch using their phone, that is something that would help more people express themselves using music. So do you want to talk about that part of your process? And what do you think about music being more accessible to people?
Yeah, with the technological advancements that we have right now, like most people have smartphones, so I think it has made it way easier for us to be able to get into music. Unlike the 80s or 90s, where you'd have to have like this whole deck of recorders and mixers and decks. I said deck, sorry. All that equipment for you to start making music. And now you just have your smartphone. You can just download an app. There's some that you can try out. There's, I think, Fruit Loops, BandLab, GarageBand. But the one that I liked the most was Caustic 3 because of the attention to detail and then all of the features that you can get from that. So even because it's an Android app, you can just download it on your phone, be able to, import samples, because that's the thing that most people don't know. They think that you need to create an original sound, but you can just take a sample from somebody's song, or I don't know, you can record somebody sneezing or opening what's it called, like a bottle or a door slamming or something that you heard that's funny on TV. You just record that, export it as a WAV file, and then you import it into your app. Play around with it, and then you'll come up with a loop or just a unique sound that you can use in your music. And the creative process is mostly just you ex I don't know, experimenting with sounds. You don't have to have a set out plan where I want this. You don't even need to know music theory. That's how accessible it is. You don't need to know music theory in order to, start making music. Like for me, when I started playing guitar, I didn't know what a chord was, but I could still strum a song. I could still write down the, what's it called, bar diagram, but I still don't know like music theory completely. I know what chords are, I know chord progressions, and these are things that you learn as you go. But starting out, you don't really need to know a lot. You don't have to have gone to music school to write a song. You can even hum something into your phone and download some app that allows you to, play around with that sample, add some beats on it, create loops, and you have a song at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I really love that. So if you're listening and you have ever been interested in music, or you feel like you can make better music than what you're hearing on this on the radio, on the speakers, what you're hearing on Spotify, you can totally do it, because that's how a lot of us start our journeys. Like I started by thinking, oh, I can do better, or I can just,
Yeah.
yeah, right. So make music, it's fun, and you also don't need to feel pressure to become a superstar. Sometimes you can just make music because it's something you enjoy, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So you also mentioned something about using online ads. So this is something I'm also learning right now, which is that we usually assume that music is popular because it's good, or in some way it deserves that kind of attention. But something I'm learning more and more is that the exposure that a song gets is more important than how good it is. And a lot of people get that exposure using YouTube ads. And I know that's something you've used. What's the process and how is it working out for you and your music?
Yeah, people don't really know about ads because it's a very new thing. I think YouTube ads started, well, they started a while back, but p the adoption of ads has only started ramping up very recently, where people are going online more. They have credit cards that they can use to spend on what's it called? Like online transactions. And that's technically all you need to be able to run an ad. You just need your credit card. And I think they usually give you like a spending cap. You don't have to pay upfront. They usually give you a spending cap where if you reach $50, that's like 5K. That's you get all those you get all that exposure. And then when you reach the cap of 5K, that's when you have to pay. So like that's what attracted me towards ads. Because now you can see the performance of your ad each day and be able to alter certain parameters of the ad, where it's displayed, to whom, the kind of what's it called? I don't know, statistics, the gender, the age. You can be able to tell like the interests, what people watch mostly. You can give the interests. If you want like people to watch a music video, you'll say, I want an audience that is interested in music. And you can keep on changing those parameters every day to see how your video performs. And the other part about ads is you need to have good content, catchy content that, lures someone into seeing how good your stuff is, how good your content is. So, for me, the process of creating an ad is usually just taking one of my songs, one of the songs that I think sounds the best from the album, put your best foot front forth, and then I create a video for that, and then I use that as an ad to be able to re link people to my streaming accounts. So the ad usually plays before a video of something else that you had clicked on, probably based on the parameters that you've set. It could be like also another music video, but also within the same scope of what you're doing. That way, you're assured that the person that you're advertising to will be interested in what you're advertising, and they might turn into, they might be converted into one of your listeners, one of your fans. So once you have your ad out there, you just continuously check the stats every day, checking who is viewing your video, who is liking, who is clicking on it, and you also check the stats on of how it translates on your streaming platforms. But like I would advise like someone who's starting out to be very patient, because it doesn't just start out immediately and you get tons of viewers or listeners. It takes time and patience, because once you're marketing, you can see the cash being used. Like you can set a spending cap of $2 a day, and you'll be getting, let's say, 2K or 3K views on your video, but that doesn't really translate into listeners on Spotify, because people actually have to click on the ad so that they can be redirected to your streaming platform. So I would advise like someone who's starting out to not give up hope that easily, because you won't see the results immediately. It's just as time goes by, people will, start viewing your music. I think people are very stubborn online. They have to see your thing like a few times. Like they have to see your video like three times in order to, pick their interest. And then they can say, why not? Let me just click on it and see what this guy is on about.
A lot of artists, when they're starting out, you're comparing yourself usually to people who, so just like you've mentioned, you need the song to be repeated a few times for it to like psychologically grab you. So you're competing with people who have their song on the radio, on the Instagram, on YouTube playing. It's recommended by the algorithms.
And other people are even like your other fans are recommending it to other that like they're posting it on their statuses, so it piques the interest of other people very easily.
Sometimes even when the song isn't that good, sometimes it will just stick in your head. Like you've seen it for a bit, and then you just find yourself all of a sudden you're singing some random song that you had online.
Yeah, and then you find yourself Shazamming it, and then now you can go and search for it on, I don't know, whichever platform it's on, add it to your library, and if you it get if it gets playlisted, that's how you get more views, like tons of views. The aim is usually to get playlisted, because once you're playlisted in a big playlist, that that's a lot of traffic. So many people are seeing. Are listening to that playlist, and then they happen to stumble on your track, and like that's almost free advertising. But like getting on those playlists is really hard, really, really hard.
For these artists, you've mentioned playlist, for example. But for someone who's starting out, you don't have this huge budget for ads, or maybe on top of ads, you'd like to do something else to market your music. Are there some things which you usually do? You mentioned the videos, but is there like another like are there like more things you can mention which you feel like you can do on top of ads?
I think the other thing that is my go-to is mostly promotions, like getting people to, people are incentivized through money sometimes. So you can just put on a simple promotion where you can offer someone like, I don't know, 500 bob or 1,000 bob if they can guess the theme of a song, or if they can find, because that's something I've done before. I have asked people to tell me the Easter eggs that I've hidden in my album art. And whoever gets it right gets like 500 or 1,000. I know that's not for the budget conscious people, but like that also helps. Having promotions where you get you it's not like forcing, but you incentivize people to listen to your music because they know they have something to gain from that. It's like a challenge for someone to listen to your music and then guess. I think that usually helps to grow your fan base, and it makes it more interactive for you with your fans. You can get to interact with them, build a relationship and get to know them a lot better. And they also get to know you better through your work.
And something you've mentioned there, which I think is important, is that it's important to think about your relationship with the people who you want to listen to your music. Because a lot of times when you're beginning, you feel like you can just, like you don't put as much work into social media and building relationships as you probably should. Sometimes you can expect that posting your music is enough and that you've done enough work for people to notice you, and that if your song is good enough, somehow you're going to succeed. But it's important to also build a relationship with your fans, right?
If you check most of these big YouTubers, I think they usually take time to respond to comments in the comment section. They usually take time to like, react to certain comments. They can even do a reaction video of the comments from another video. And that's just a way of building a relationship with your fans, because you're showing them that you care about their opinion by responding to them. You can You're showing interest in what they think about your work, and that just makes them even more hardcore fans, because they know that I have a personal sort of a personal relationship with this guy, and I feel like I'm a part of the creation process. You can even, ask for feedback for the next project. And whenever, somebody suggests something and you implement it, they'll just feel proud because they were part of the creation process.
And also, as opposed to the idea of your song or your video immediately going viral, it's also important to just think about it as one person at a time discovering your music or discovering your art. It's just a slow, long process, and you just have to be consistent, I guess.
Yeah.
Consistency is important.
Yeah, consist like for you to grow a channel, that is the most important thing. You need to upload, even if it's not good stuff, just keep uploading. Keep spamming people with content, and eventually they'll start growing to like you. That's usually the most important thing, consistency.
And at the same time, if you it's possible for you to also succeed by having a single viral hit, but there have been people who that has happened to, and people who have been successful in the past, but because they were not consistent, you
Yeah.
still end up losing everything that you gained. So
Yeah.
yeah, so you
There's
don't want to fall off.
this story about Belle Delphine. I don't know whether you know about her.
I know about her, but tell me the story.
She used to post all these weird anime themed videos, the Katya's type of video where you like you're teasing your fans, you're telling them all these weird stuff about your personal life, and they feel like they have an engagement in your life. It's like they're following along with what you're doing. It's like a personal vlog thing. And then it reached a point where, the whole premise of her videos was that she was single and then she was attracting a lot of guys, and that's where the fan base came from. So at some point she happened to mention that she had a boyfriend, and then after that she went silent for I think 8 months. And then most of the fans that were interested in her because of, her, they thought that they had a chance with her, I think, ended up dropping off, and she lost all this following because she stayed silent for that whole period of time. So, that's like a big no-no for being a creator. You do not engage your fans and then now you just drop them like a sack of manure. You have to keep consistent and engage them continuously.
Yeah, and that's just a thing in general in life if you want to be successful. And I think the consistency itself comes from somehow making your content creation part of your daily or weekly routine so that it's not something you have to think about like, oh, next week I'll plan to make some music. It should be like, I am making music either every day or I have a consistent way of doing it and I enjoy doing it.
Yeah, even if you're not, making music, because that usually comes with inspiration. You have to be inspired in order to make art. I mean, if you're constantly inspired all the time, I mean, more power to you. That's a good thing. But some people usually get burnout or discouraged when they don't see their work, being listened to or explored by a lot of people. But it would also be important to, also explore reacting to other people's music as a way of, I don't know, trying to get more content, because you won't always be, having music all the time to release. You could try to, check other people's music, do reaction videos, try to do a breakdown on how you think the music was written and how, you could do your own version, stuff like that, just to keep your audience engaged.
And something that you've mentioned actually, which is extremely important, which I don't feel like many people do, which is to listen to other people's music. So it's very important to be able to listen to other people's music and not just people's music who are making music in your current era, but it's important to also go back and listen to old albums, listen to music from like the 1920s, listen to music like from other cultures, because that influence comes out of your own music. If you only listen to hip hop or if you only listen to pop, your music will tend to sound like hip hop or pop. But if you listen to something which is more experimental, if you listen to rock, if you listen to I don't know, just weird stuff. That will also come out in your music, right?
Yeah, yeah. And who knows? You might end up even inventing your own genre of music. I mean, that's how house was in. I think it was house, or yeah, I think that's how house was invented. Because there's electronic music, and then there's the 80s vibe mixed together into one, and then you get house. And now it's become this whole huge thing where people are making songs and mixes and albums.
Okay, what are some of the albums which inspire you the most? Like, which are the ones which you'd like to recommend to me, for example?
Okay. I would have to check my spot. Just give me a minute and let me open
Sorry.
my library. Because
that's usually my answer as well.
there's a lot of stuff that I listen to. Personally, whenever I like a song, I usually add it to a playlist. So I have a playlist for each genre. I have hip hop, I have rock, I have EDM, jazz, guitar, orchestra, lo-fi. I even have metal, alternative hip hop. Yeah, so that's where mostly I get my inspiration. But for like a good album, let me just check something here for you. I really liked the, what's it called? The Revenge of the Dreamers 3 album. I don't know whether you heard of that one.
Not yet, but you can tell me about it.
It's like a collaboration of artists. It's the Dream, what's it called? Dreamville is like a collaboration of artists that is spearheaded by J. Cole. And it's all these new artists, uprising artists, who come together like once in a year and then sit down and write tracks together. So if you listen to the Revenge of the Dreamers 3, it has like, for each track, it has at least three different artists. But the common denominator is usually J. Cole, because he's like the founder. So you can hear lots of people rapping on the same song, but at some point you'll also hear J. Cole spitting on the same song for almost all the tracks. Yeah, you should really check it out. It's mostly like alternative hip-hop, but it has like this blend of, you know, chill, lo-fi kind of tracks.